Welcome to the Breathing God podcast. I'm your host, Gretchen Rodriguez. I believe one of the most important and powerful ways that we can spend time with God is by the practice of contemplation. Quite simply, contemplation is beholding, listening, looking, waiting, quieting that internal noise, and looking at God, contemplating God, expecting that this relationship that we have with God is a two-way street, and that He wants to speak to us and He wants to show us things. And so today I have my friend Eunice Combrink. And she just came back from a silent retreat, days of contemplation. And I am really excited. So before I introduce her to you, I want you guys, as I always say, don't just listen, right? Engage your heart, be still, be expectant, because today is going to be such a treat. We're not just talking about contemplation, but imaginative contemplation. So Eunice, welcome.
Thank you, Gretchen.
I am so glad to have you. So how many days were you away at this silent retreat?
Well, it was a total of 11 days.
11 days.
It was going to be three. And then God said, no, you've got a window to do an 11 days silent retreat.
Okay, so.
So he really deepened it and he made it much longer than was my intention.
I'm so glad you listened though, you know, that's a long time to be quiet. Okay, so I am going to let you share about the retreat. I'm going to let you share what's in your heart coming out of that, because I know it's all still fresh in your heart. And I will just let you talk. So go for it. Tell us a little bit about what that was like and what you've learned through it.
Okay, so I was actually in the swimming pool one evening and Holy Spirit just gave me that call to come away with my beloved. And little did I know how deep was that call and what was awaiting me. And over time, he reminded me I have this window and I also know of someone that can actually guide me in the silent retreat, which was really worth a lot to me. So instead of going with a group, I went on my own. 2 days, two ladies joined me, and I can share a bit about that a little bit later. But I had this person that God reminded me of. It's a sister, Anita. She lives in Wales, of all places. I met her via Zoom in the whole lockdown period. And she said, okay, she can do this with me, and it has to be done in a very specific way. So you have this expectation in your heart and you sort of go and buy coloring pencils and you're going to do Bible study and you're going to get into the word. And gee, was I wrong. Day one, she just changed my gears and said, no, 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 this is not a Bible study. And to my delight, I discovered that this is encounters with God. And it is very personalized. And through this person, she would listen to where Holy Spirit wants to take me and where He is taking me. And then on a daily basis, she would direct me to scriptures that could take me into these encounters. So the methods are through imaginative contemplation. So what you do is you're given a scripture. The difference is it's not a study, it's an experience. So you go into the scripture, say, for example, the woman with the issue of blood. You actually see yourself waiting for Jesus, seeing the crowds, experiencing the crowds, and even thinking, what is it that I want to bring before Jesus? What is my specific request? And then you see how you actually push through the crowds until you reach the feet of Jesus and you touch his cloak. And then the story becomes your personal story. And what Sister Anita would say is, you wait and you watch and you listen.
Beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Daunting, you know, you're touching his cloak, and then there's that time of waiting and watching and listening. And he comes and he does something very personal. He comes into your story, you in the story, and he comes and meets you in the story. And he encounters you in a very special way. And I don't want to share these very personal encounters, because if you go into that specific story, you want to have it like a freshness where there's no, is something left in your mind that it has to be this. This is what Jesus is going to do with me because he did that with her.
Right. So everyone has a personal experience. And so what you're saying is for this time that you were away, the word became a door. The word was a door into encountering him.
Yes. So the imaginative contemplation is using all your senses. So you're looking, you're smelling, you're hearing, you're feeling. And especially when Jesus meets with you.
I want you to pause right there, because I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, God gave us senses in the natural, but those same senses can operate in the spirit.
Absolutely.
And so you're looking, you're listening, you're tasting, you're smelling, you're touching, and you're feeling something deep inside of you that sometimes you can't even put a finger on. You can't necessarily explain with human language, you know, like a strong emotion.
Yes, exactly. So it is much more comprehensive than just reading the Bible with your cognitive ability, your analytical ability. It is giving yourself as a living sacrifice and being totally immersed in this story. And then you have this absolute delight that Jesus comes in and he touches you in such a way that you experience him with a lot of your senses. He can decide which he wants to touch. I mean, he's not every time you're not going to smell him necessarily, but the essence is that you truly see him and you feel him in the way that he wants to reveal himself, and it will be different to each one. I mean, if you think of the word, he is the vine, he is a rod, he is the bread, he is living water. So, I mean, there's not a right or a wrong way. He decides how does he want to manifest himself to you. And John 14, 21 says that he wants to manifest himself to us. And the challenging part is to move from your soulish imagination into a place where you have given your imagination to God to sanctify and to use. So initially that's a bit of a tweaking, and there you need someone. The prayer guide was so valuable to me. So you might discover it's difficult for you to imagine things, or you might discover that you have a very vivid imagination and that you might have to put a halt on your imagination. So it can be quite a journey. And with me, it was, I have a vivid imagination. I can actually see and experience Jesus, which is great, or the triune God, whichever one wants to manifest himself. But I had to sort of say, okay, Eunice, you don't have to go into the afterglow and go off running with wild horses with Jesus. So what was nice about this guided meditation, and I mean, we can do this in our daily lives, every time we have a moment and we can go into God's presence, we can do this. And what I learned out of these encounters and with the guidance of Sister Anita is to stay with Jesus, to stay with the essence of his heart. Because we are in a world which is so busy, and there's so many to-do lists, and there's so much performance-drivenness in us that we think, you know, I must read through John, and then I must go through Ephesians, and then I must do Revelations. And you have this whole tick list even with your spiritual life. And to bring a halt to all of that and allow yourself with Jesus to just be.
Yeah, that's so important. That's such a huge piece of our relationship with the Lord, is we're not focused on if we're doing everything right, if we've read enough of the Bible every day, if we spent enough time praying, if we spent enough time interceding. It is about this relationship where you just be, where you just exist with him and live in an awareness of him. And living in that awareness, it gives you a different perspective when you're not focused on everything I need to do, but on the joy of just being with him. Yeah. So I like what you said about, you said entering in, you know, you start with your own imagination.
Yes.
And then, yes, as you go in with your imagination, then Jesus begins to take over, doesn't he?
Yes. So it's not like hard work. It's like you're sitting with him in your garden, and you're looking at the view. You're looking at the sunset, and you're enjoying it with him, except the scene changes, and he decides what the scene is going to be. So you sit and say, hey, Jesus, what are you wanting to show me today? Or what is it today that I need to experience that you want to take me into? So it's a place of just being and relaxing with Jesus. And then, if necessary, to say, hey, I don't have to go to something else. I can just stay here. And I can just enjoy this very tender embrace. And really, since the Songs of Solomon experience, where you perhaps lying in his arms with his left hand under your neck and his right hand is embracing you, and you're gazing in each other's eyes. It's like in the natural with a relationship, say with your spouse. I mean, my husband has a busy work, and he comes home and he's still in a function mode. So it's like, I must go to the gym, and was the fridge fixed, and it's this and it's that, and tomorrow we must remember we have this meeting. And in your heart, you're actually just wanting to say, do you see me at all? Can you see that I had a hard day? You know, so all you actually want is, come and sit with me. I want to give you a hug. And that was my experience with Jesus. It wasn't reams of words. It was this delightful presence. It was this love relationship, this tender loving care, experiencing the words you read through the visuals that he gives you. And if you do it regularly, whether it is in a silent retreat or whether you just make time in your day, whether it is 5 minutes or an hour or 30 minutes, whatever you have, it becomes a storyline. It becomes that place where you say, I want to go back there. I just want to lie in your arms again. So it's not a must. It's not a religion. It's, I want to be with my beloved. I just want to sense his presence. I want to hear his whispers. So one of the scenes I was taken in, and anyone can do that, is the very well-known scripture of Elijah that goes into the cave. And then, of course, God comes with the wind and the storms and the fires, and then he says, I'm not in any of that. I'm in the whisper. And the essence is not even that story. It's just waiting in the cave and knowing he's going to come. And you don't know who's going to come. Is it Holy Spirit? Is it the Father? Is it Jesus? But you just again wait and watch and listen. And he meets with you. And then he extends the story into what he desires it to be. And you enjoy him. You experience him. And what happens is after these encounters, I have a time of feedback with my prayer guide, which is very valuable. So you can share, okay, when I was waiting in the cave, this happened or nothing happened, or I started sensing, I can actually identify with Elijah's fears. And with very little words, she might say, well, put that into your prayer request. God, just deal with this frustration, maybe despondency that you have. Maybe you feel a bit inhibited. Maybe you have an unbelief. Is God going to show up? You know, we have these stuff.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you because I think what you said is really important. When you are spending time with the Lord, it isn't that we are trying to shove down our emotions. We're not trying to shove down the things that have been wearing, you know, causing us to feel heavy or causing us to feel discouraged. Actually, sometimes in contemplation, those things will rise to the surface. And God, it's a grace that he gives us so that we can say, oh, I didn't realize that I was feeling discouraged. I didn't actually even know that. Okay, Lord, I invite you into this. Would you process this with me? So contemplation has so many different, you know, facets to it. And I love that Anita would point that out. Okay, next time, invite him into that or ask him to process that. So I just wanted to point that out because I think people think, okay, when I'm contemplating the Lord, yes, I do believe it becomes this place where we do become less aware of ourselves because we become so aware of him, but he doesn't dismiss our humanity. He doesn't dismiss the things that we're going through. He loves us. He accepts us exactly as we are, and we don't have to pretend that everything is perfect. We just have to be with him.
It will be different for each person, but for me, it was before the encounter, I would sort of have an apprehension. Am I going to see him again? You know, and sometimes she would take me in exactly the same scene, and I'd think, but maybe nothing's going to happen this time, you know? And you just become aware in yourself, there's a bit of an unbelief there. And with the encounters, my experience wasn't God telling me, Eunice, you know, you have to deal with this and get this in line. He was just with me and loved on me. But he did things that dealt with things. Like, for example, in one of the scenes, I had to go in again and again because it was so profound the first time I went into that scene. But somehow the second or the third time, I had a bit of an apprehension. And God did, just did something so funny. You know, I was waiting at the scene, and the next moment he was lying next to me waiting. And I sort of laughed and said, what are you doing next to me, looking and waiting with me? And it was like, I know exactly how you feel. So let's just dismantle this fear and this tension and bring a bit of humor in it.
Yeah. And he was there all along, you know, just that you didn't even necessarily realize that he was there at the moment. And then, oh, you were here. Oh, you were here all along.
Exactly. And in that encounter, he was so playful and joyful, and it just dismantled that apprehension that I had in me. And in other times, I went back to that scene, because you may go to the same scene as many times as you wish, and it will be different each time. And later on, before I even got to the scene, he was walking towards me, you know, and I just, oh, that is so nice. That is who you are. So through these encounters, you receive a deep sense of healing. And you just, the word you read in the Bible becomes a reality, because it is it's an encounter. It's an experience that you have of his loving kindness, of his loyalty, of his faithfulness, of his long suffering, even though he knows, oh, Eunice, your apprehension has got no ground at all, but I will meet you there. So it is just a delightful place to go to. And as I mentioned, you can do it in your day to day, whether you have 5 minutes, you can say, here I am, and I want to meet you wherever, at the well, or at the river, or wherever you decide you want to meet him and become part of that Bible story.
Yeah, and I think that it's very important for all of us to remember that we are not trying to encounter someone who is outside of ourselves. You know, when we come into God's presence, we also have to remember he is inside of us. We are one with him. So it doesn't matter if you are at work. It doesn't matter if you have if you're a mother with young children who, you know, are by your side every moment. You can take just 2 minutes and just close your eyes. Maybe take a couple deep breaths and just remember that God is with you, that he's in you. And even that is a moment of contemplation. It is a connecting with God where you say, my life is busy, my life is important, these things are here, but I'm choosing you this moment, even if it is literally just a moment. And every movement of our heart matters to God. We may not be able to do an 11-day huge gesture. Yeah, some of us can and some of us can't. But yes, throughout the day, to continually turn to him, to continually just whisper, I love you, and then wait and sense his presence, sense his nearness. That is also a form of contemplation. And so, yeah, I want to also say one more thing is that one thing I've noticed, you may have noticed this too, the practice of contemplation gets easier with time. The more you do practicing his presence. But one thing I've noticed, and I have a quote from Madame Guyon. Let me see if I can find where I wrote it. Okay, so one of the things I've noticed is that when I am dealing with mental stress, when I am dealing with things that are on my mind, things that are heavy, it is so much harder to come into a place of quiet in our soul. And this one of the questions I get asked from a lot of people is, how do I quiet this? How do I stop the thoughts? How do I come back to contemplation? And I thought this really spoke to me. Madame Guyon says, distractions, about distractions, you can tell how far you've been yielded or drawn into distractions by how difficult it is to return to silence. And so that's why I say every single day to spend quiet time with the Lord, even if, I mean, it is desirable and best if we can set aside time to be with him every day for a set amount of time. But that's why I said, continually take a deep breath and release those concerns. Imagine his face smiling at you. Imagine him taking the thing that's on your heart. Imagine him with his hands on your cheeks, just saying, I love you. I've got you, or I've got this concern. Because the more we do this, the easier it is to live in this place of beholding him.
Andrew Murray said, to practice God's presence is just to become aware of him, to be aware of him throughout your day. And that is sort of, it becomes more and more. And especially if you have these wonderful encounters of his love, it is something that draws you. It's like a God magnet that draws you into this awareness. You want to think of your beloved. You want to go back to this place where you were embraced. And so it becomes easier. And what we want to do is, like Brother Lawrence, is to practice his presence whether we are washing dishes, whether we are in the school with children screaming around us. You and I know of this testimony of a friend of ours that was at the airport. And the woman was this control freak and wanted to organize. Everyone was in a big fluster. And she said, you need to know how to just to disengage, switch off all the noise around you, even when you're sitting in an airport, and connect with God. And it is possible to do that. I mean, just after the retreat, my husband and my son were having a barbecue, and I happened to go into the pool. And it's just such a lovely place where you go into the water and you're in Ezekiel 47. And you're enjoying his presence while they are having a conversation and discussing a whole lot of things. And you can just disengage with that and engage with God. And whether your children, you've got babies, I mean, while you're feeding, it's such a wonderful time to engage with God. And Moses said, will you go with me? Will you be with me? And that is God's heart, is to be with us. He is the be with God, the with me God. He wants us to be with him, and he wants to be with us where we are, whatever we're doing, whether we're taking a nation through the wilderness with all the problems that surround that, to know that he is with me. And within the retreat, I became very aware of noise. Not only the noise around you, but the noise in your head. For example, when the two ladies joined me, I had thoughts of the gate wasn't working. Are they going to be able to enter the gate? And when they arrive, will they know where the river is? Where can they go for their contemplations? And suddenly your mind is engaged with doing. And immediately you have to switch it off and say, hey, these things aren't so important. Just do it and then it's finished. And then you go into that silent place of rest.
I'm sorry. I think this is what you said is so important, because we live with constant thoughts, don't we? Yes. And I think it's important sometimes to give some keys or some tools, or maybe an example. How do you stop thinking and engage your heart again?
Yes. So that is very important. I had the opportunity to cycle every day and just have a nice, enjoyable cycle. And then you go back to your encounters and, God just sort of continues the conversation. But at times I was aware that my mind would get hooked on something. You go into a loop. And then what do you do to get out of that loop? And one of the graces that Anita asked me to do towards the end of the retreat is to remain in the retreat, to not start thinking what is waiting at home and what you need to do, or what are you going to do with the retreat? Are you going to share it? What are you going to say to the soul group or whatever? Your mind suddenly goes into a to-do list with a retreat. And it is a spiritual discipline to be aware of your thoughts and the loops it goes into, and to discipline it and to say, hey, stay in the moment. Stay where you are, where God wants you to be now, to be in the present and not go into tomorrow. And we have seen even with friends that go away with us, say we go to the bush. The last day, you see the men are already at the office. They're still in the bush, but they're at the office. And they can't wait to get in the car. And sometimes that is our relationship with God. We're sitting with him, we've made time, but I'm already at the school, or with the children, or with a meeting. And we need to practice the discipline to stay with Jesus, to engage with him. And one of the methods that helps one is using scripture as a bridge to take a scene. Or you could, for example, take a very simple scripture, say Psalm 27, one thing I desire, which I long from you, is that I may dwell in your presence all the days of my life and behold your beauty and inquire of you in the temple. Now, just that short verse, you don't make it long, just a short verse can center you back.
Yeah.
And suddenly you realize, but that is my desire. That other thing is of no importance. I desire to dwell with God. I really do long to behold his beauty and his glory. And suddenly that is, you're drawn into that space again. Or if you want to, you can just take a scripture, say Psalm 63, where you go into a prayer just using a very simple scripture. And that stops the mind racing. It stops the loop because you've replaced the world's loop with an encounter with God. Oh God, my God, earnestly I will seek you. I am seeking you now, earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. I just want to be with you.
Yeah.
And at this moment, I feel like I'm in a dry and weary land where there is no water. But it is your loving kindness that makes me rejoice and draws me in. And then you just use that scripture to take you back into his loving kindness, into his living water, which is there all the time. Because distance and separation is an illusion. It's not the truth. Dryness is an illusion. His water is there constantly. So you just take yourself and you say, here I am, I feel dry, but I know you are here. You desire to be with me and I desire to behold you. So it is to take these scriptures that we love, but now you don't just do it cognitively. You connect yourself to those images of those experiences you had with God. You see him as he revealed himself to you, and you there with him again. And that immediately just opens up the field to go into that place with him. So the tools are use scripture. And one thing you can also use is just a simple quote. You can just say to center yourself, you can just say, I'm in you and you in me.
Beautiful.
I'm in you and you in me. And you start breathing. Because when we become stressed or rushed, our breathing becomes very shallow.
Yes.
So we just start breathing deeply and we just acknowledge that he is my breath. And while you breathe, you can even just say, Yahweh, Yahweh. Whatever works for you, you in me and I'm in you. And that is like, oh, I'm standing at the door. The door is open. I have boldness and I have free access to enter in, but I'm just going to this door with my breathing, with my centering scripture, or maybe just that one sentence. And that leads me into that place, whether I have 5 minutes or 30 minutes or even an hour. And with such a scripture, say you take Psalm 27, just those two verses, say verse 4 and 5, you can just repeat that. We don't have to do the whole Bible. We can really just go into that one scripture and say, Lord, I want to behold you, your beauty. And then you start talking about his beauty and his delightfulness and his majesty. And you use your own words and it becomes a personal conversation, but using Psalm 27. So it is simple. It is a simple gospel. It is centered to the center and the essence of God's heart, of being with him. I mean, one time he took me in a scene and I was back in my normal life. And we were sitting on a cliff and we looked at the nations. And the sense I got is that he just wants to be with me now. The nations he loves, but he loves to be with you and with me. He loves that one, that one-on-one moments.
And that's, about. That's what all of this is about, isn't it? It's this coming into the place where love is the reality of our lives. His love is the reality. And though we know he loves the whole world, he wants to sit with each of us individually and to love on us individually. And that love, that experiential love, that is like that's what gets the roots so deep in our hearts when we go through trials and we go through life. That love is rooted so deep in our hearts that even when we are tempted to question, even when we are tempted to doubt and fear, love becomes our reality. And that is what contemplation is about. That is what imaginative contemplation, everything we're talking about today is all about, this desire that God has for us to be with him, to be still. Yeah, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. He has extended an invitation for us to know him. And we're going to close and I'll have you pray with the listeners. But one thing that, you know, you talked about Sister Anita, and I know just from talking to you personally, how much of a blessing it was. I mean, contemplation isn't a new practice for you at all, but having her there and kind of guiding you and with the help of Holy Spirit, discerning some things that you didn't necessarily see or understand, it made this experience so much better. And so you've told me that Sister Anita actually will work with people online and help them in this process. And so I thought, I believe you said it's okay to share her information and how people can connect with her. So if, you know, listeners, if you aren't sure if what you're experiencing is right, if you're new at this and you're not sure and you want someone to help you, I suggest reaching out to Anita, and Eunice will share that information. I'll put it in the show notes, and then she's going to close us in prayer afterwards.
Yeah, so you can do it in your daily life, just say with a half an hour in your day that you guided in an encounter with another meeting with her where you can give feedback. And where she then guides you and also hears where Holy Spirit is taking you. So it also becomes a journey, but within your daily life. Or you can decide, okay, but I do also want a bit more of a silent retreat. So you can choose what suits you.
Beautiful. Okay. And how can people connect with her?
So I will give you her email and they can just write to her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I will have that in the show notes in this episode. So you can just scroll down and you could find that information there. Thank you so much for sharing. This has been so beautiful. Can you just close us in prayer?
Yes. Yes. You, my God, you, our God, you're such a personal God. You are so connecting. You are so loving. You're so kind. Yes, you are so good. And thank you that you want to reveal yourself to us, to each one of us, in unique and special ways. And I just pray that each person finds a way to have these divine, heavenly, and real encounters with you. And that no one's relationship with you will stay the same, but it will just go into deeper and deeper levels. I know you have so much more for us and that you want to reveal to us the deep secrets of your heart. But thank you that it all starts with love, with this intimate place of being with you, of a face-to-face friendship, of a bride and bridegroom relationship, where you have betrothed us to you in faithfulness, and that you are so loyal, and that you are so just and kind, and that we can trust you, that you want this, is your desire for each person listening. In
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is Gretchen Rodriguez. Thank you for joining me. If this podcast has been a blessing, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing. If you'd like, you can also sow into this ministry. If you dream of writing a devotional, consider my e-course, Exhale. At this time, I've written and co-authored 10 devotionals, most of them landing on Amazon's bestsellers list, and I am so excited to share what I've learned about writing devotionals with you. You can find a free lesson on my website. You can sign up for my bi-weekly encouraging emails or discover some other goodies, sow into the ministry. All of that can be done on GretchenRodriguez.com.